And you are joining us for another edition of Sparks Notes here on another beautiful Tuesday in Macomb. And I am joined by the big cheese himself in the hot seat. It is Macomb Mayor Mike Inman. How are we doing today?
Oh, Jonathan, I'm good. I'm glad to be here. Always an opportunity I look forward to be out here. Sharing information with folks through you.
Absolutely. I am the mouthpiece for the man in charge, as it were. And with all of that, I thought today, you know, there's not any particular big events coming up. There's some looming off in the distance, and we'll talk about those in good time. But today I figured it was a good chance to kind of catch up on some city business. And I don't know, you know, some people might be checking out the city council meetings or the notes on those, but I figured it's a good chance to kind of review some things that are happening here in Macomb.
Sure.
And right off the top, I know it's been a minute since we last talked about it. What's kind of going on with the new water treatment plant?
So we've made a decision. The testing all came back. The test well had to be a little deeper than we initially anticipated. So that was completed. The decision's been made. We've already acquired and closed on the 16 acres of property located on the northwest corner of Grant and Ward Street. There'll be a series of wells that will disperse to other areas close to that. So, for example, we initially thought we could place as many as maybe 4 wellheads at that location, but part of that testing revealed that we couldn't do that. So we'll have to find 3 other small sites, maybe within a 22 to 2,500 foot diameter of that location. We've already started speaking with the adjacent property owners to get that done. That's on its way. Those negotiations are yielding some good results. That's roughly half the equation. The actual plant where the water will be processed and then pushed back out into the distribution system is being developed for that site. It will also house the city's investment in solar to operate that plant, as well as the wastewater treatment plant across the street. So there will be a city-owned solar array on that property to provide energy to run those two processes.
Well, and I know that there was discussion at the committee of the whole last week about a couple buildings in the city of Macomb actually taking up some solar panels.
Sure. And so those two would be the biggest. The transit facility is working on a grant through the Department of Transportation to put solar at our main transit facility on East Pierce. And then we're looking at other options where we're not actually investing the city dollars in putting like panels on the city hall or the police station or the fire station. That's just not feasible either from a cost-effective perspective or aesthetic perspective, to be honest with you. But we are looking at other alternatives where we could meet some of our power needs with alternative energy, where we're buying in a collaborative fashion, not necessarily construction. But the water treatment plant is still relatively on track for construction and coming online in late 2025, early 2026.
But at the very least, we've got a site.
Yep, exactly.
That much is for certain. Speaking of sites, I think one of the bigger topics of discussion the last few weeks at the council meetings have been this solar farm that's actually going up out on East Grant, so the north side.
So we've actually had a proliferation of private investment in solar. We approved a large-scale solar site out on Ember Road, which is not technically in the city limits, but it's within our mile-and-a-half extraterritorial zoning code. And then we approved a location of a large-scale site on the south side of Grant Street, extended from Candy Lane to 67. That's Grant Street in the city. But we approved one on the south side, and there's one coming up through the Planning Commission now that'll get to the council, likely the next city council meeting for review and action on siting it as well. We have several other folks knocking on the door. You may be aware, on the corner of Piper and Ward Street now, there's a large-scale solar array going in there on the west side of the road, and there's some other folks knocking on the door in that same area looking at not only a solar field, but a battery storage facility as well.
Well, the nice part of about all these developments, at least one of them in particular, is that the city and the residents actually have the opportunity to kind of benefit from this installation.
Well, yes and no. It's not a direct link. We'll have an actionable item up for the council's approval here in the next couple of weeks with a company called NexAmp. The city has an energy consultant. We use a lot of energy, and we want to make sure that we're getting it not only at a price point that we can afford, but we also want to make sure that we're availing ourselves of every possible attempt to utilize alternative sources of energy rather than, you know, the traditional forms. So I'll try to explain the process the best I can. The state of Illinois is offering incentives for large-scale solar developments for private investment. But part of that is that before they can be sited or start their construction process, they want to be guaranteed they have customers or people willing to accept this, not necessarily directly feeding it to them, but the grid will have a void to fill by a large-scale user, whether that's a big large-scale manufacturing plant or something like a city government. So it's unique in that it's not a direct correlation correlation where we're actually literally plugged into the net, but it allows the investor that's going to build the solar array to know that they have a client on board that will be the recipient of energy from the grid that they're supplying it to. So the agreement would call for us to enter into them saying, yes, we will buy energy from you at a 15% discounted rate for 20 years. You now have a commitment that X amount of your kilowatts are going to be used somewhere by somebody, and it's somebody that's not going to go out of business tomorrow. Now, the neat thing about it is that one of these solar arrays that's coming up for review could likely be one of those that will say, well, we have a contract with a large-scale user, the city of Macomb, so there'll be demand for our energy on the net when we deliver it to the grid. And if the council approves this agreement between us and NextAmp, there is also an opportunity for local residents then to sign on, and NextAmp would then give them a rebate every month consistent with the amount of energy use they had at, again, a 15% discount. And in this day and age, electric energy is a big part of household expenses. And anytime we have a chance to save, we have a chance to save. And there is that plus that if this is approved by the city council, people wanting to avail themselves of having access to energy supplied by an alternative energy source could contract with NextAmp and get that same benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think any alternative for your supply from any other company definitely makes the market more competitive. I know that there's a couple of companies in addition to Ameren who are trying to get people to sign up, at least as a suppliers.
Exactly. And again, the thing here is that we won't be putting solar panels on city buildings under this agreement. And just like people wouldn't be, you know, somebody wouldn't be coming and say, well, if you want to get the benefit, you got to put panels on top of your roof. No, you just sign up with us and we know we have demand that's being met by our facility, whatever, wherever that may be. It could be in Benton, Illinois, it could be in, you know, suburban Chicago, it could be on Grant Street, Macomb. And these people are saying we have to have this energy guaranteed to be purchased once we build it and put it on the grid. And we have that with these agreements in place. Now, that likely will not start until maybe mid to late next year if the council approves this agreement. So I wouldn't want to get people all excited and say, hey, my energy bill is going down next month if I sign up with these. It would be not until next year before we'd be availed of these savings.
And even in the short term, there's the opportunity for construction jobs.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's definitely, it's definitely holds the potential to be a great boon for the city.
Yep.
Speaking of good things coming down the road, a little less official and more fun, we got the downtown parking crews returning to the square.
Sure. So a lot of folks in the community, myself included, looked to an opportunity to get down and look at some cars that are vintage and cool. And although I'll deviate from what I just said just for a moment, and that we have a local group of electrified vehicle owners that make their appearance at Park and Cruise events too, and touting the newest and the coolest in automotive technology from that arena. But traditionally, these are, you know, muscle cars from the 50s, 60s, 70s, some folks going back into early production of the 20s and 30s. And it's a great opportunity together in a beautiful space we call downtown Macomb and Chandler Park. There's usually entertainment involved. I'm happy to be part of the entertainment for the first gig every year. I donate my time and energy with my business partner of years gone by. And we have some other much better well-known acts of live music later coming up. And then, of course, Savannah Ballard's in charge of all those activities. She works closely with a committee of car enthusiasts here in Macomb, not the least of which is Chuck Laird, and he's a renowned name in the local custom car community. So, yep, that gets started here the first full weekend in May. We've got, of course, Lizzie McGee's birthday party headed by the Convention and Visitors Bureau. That's slated for the 9th of May, and it's getting ready to kick off in a grand style.
Yeah, I think May is really that month where we pop the top off and things just start rolling through to the end of the year.
Absolutely.
And then, finally, speaking of May and things coming up at that end, this most recent announcement last week was a special census coming up in fall 2024, and with that, a need for people to go out and perform said census.
Absolutely. So if anybody's had the ear to the ground at all in the last, well, since we received the results of the 2020 census, you know that we have historically been undercounted in this community, and this isn't a bad thing. It's just that we have a part of our population, students at Western University, and students in any host community are termed hard to count by the Census Bureau, mainly because some live on campus, some live off campus, some are here all week, some are here just during days of class, things like that. Well, us and a myriad of other host communities to colleges and universities universities across the country were severely undercounted during the 2020 census, mainly because of COVID. Those students were attending remotely from their traditional homes, wherever that would be. So we garnered authority from the council to spend over $300,000 to conduct a special census. That's been approved by the Census Bureau. That was approved in March. They sent us a timeline. That timeline starts now with a aggressive ask for community members who would want to help get that census off the ground. These are paid positions. They will not be city employees. This is part of our contract with the Census Bureau, but we need at least 60 applicants for 30 jobs. And we would say, if you've got a desire to help and want to earn some extra money, they're good wages. These will be temporary jobs. And that portal for the U.S. Census Bureau is available on the city's webpage. You need to click on it and get the process started. Now, you and I talked before we went on the air about you had kind of looked at it and it seems a little cumbersome. I apologize for that. All I can say, it's the federal government and it probably looks like any other federal government bureaucratic form. I would ask people not to be discouraged by that. Get through it. Again, the portal's available on the city's website. It's the U.S. Census Bureau portal for employment. We absolutely will need at least 30 people to fill these jobs. And the timeline is that they will be hired and in place by July. They'll be educated through some Census Bureau leadership. They'll come into community. They'll gather. They'll get their instructions on how to work. It's not a complete recount of the city. It's only select census tracts in the north and the west side of town. So those folks should expect to get a postcard in the mail sometime in late July, early August. If they don't respond to that, they'll get another postcard in September. And if we don't hear from them by the end of September, these enumerators, field enumerators, will go out and knock on people's doors in these select neighborhoods and ask questions. Now, when they ask those questions, those are the same questions that we all would have submitted the responses to online in 2020 when the census was taken or didn't respond to for whatever reason. Privacy is assured. This information is confidential. The city will not get any of the results other than the number of people that were tallied in those. We'll get no other response. That's all confidential information that is retained by the federal government. But the process is starting right now. And again, I cannot stress, go to the city's website, get on the U.S. Census Bureau portal, be patient, please be diligent, be tenacious, work through it. We need you so we can get this process done.
Well, I definitely think it's worth remembering that while the census might sound like your usual run-of-the-mill government tedium, it actually does have a benefit for your local government.
Absolutely. And, you know, you'd have heard us beating this drum consistently leading up to the 2020 census. We collect between $140 and $150 per year per person from shared revenue with the state and federal government that pays for essential services we all count on every day. So you can do the math. If we only garner 1,000 more people by this count, and just so you know, we recently annexed Georgetown subdivision, that will be included in this count. We believe at minimum there's somewhere between 300 and 400 people that live in that subdivision. We'll get the benefit of all them. There's likely more than that. We don't want to overestimate. When we ran this up the tree from a cost-benefit ratio, we had our friends at the GIS Center at Western go into these neighborhoods and identify very specifically where we felt absolutely certain we were undercounted. We estimated that there was easily 1,000 people there undercounted. So you combine that with what we feel strongly we're going to get from the Georgetown, we're talking between 1,000 and 1,500 people times $150 per person for the next 6 years. That's a sizable amount of revenue that we can use to keep people's taxes lower, still get services delivered at a good, efficient way, and we'll get what, at the end of the day, we deserve because those people are here, they're taking advantage of our services, and we need to be mindful of how we get reimbursed for providing those services from the state and federal government. It's very important that folks participate. We count on it, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, you bet. And even the low end, I mean, you enjoy things like the parks and everything here in the community. A lot of those are funded through grants and other opportunity like that, and this really helps get money for those projects.
Exactly. So many things we do are not only income-based in the community, but population-based. If we don't have the people here to support some of the things we want to do, we don't have the revenue to do that, then we're not the best community that we could be. So we need folks in the north and west quadrants to step up when they get the card. If they don't get that done, we'll be very pleasantly knocking on their doors and say, could you please help us fill this out?
And to that point, we need people to go out and handle that.
Exactly.
Too. So yeah, a lot of things going on with that. I also have a link to the application in the online article attached to this interview.
Excellent. Good. Thank you for that.
So it's even easier to access. We can get more people hired temporarily, making a good wage. And we're talking 16 and a quarter an hour for field reps and clerical and 21 an hour for field supervisors. So yep. Good money to be made here. And I think they're actually pretty flexible on scheduling.
They are. That's the plan. They know that many of these folks may have other jobs, but they want to be flexible because they know that they may have to go back to a house several times to make sure they catch the owner there. That owner may be a day worker, maybe a night worker, maybe an overnight worker that's asleep when they're knocking on the door. So yeah, there'll be flexibility. And at the end of the day, if you're worried about qualification, there'll be training for this. They won't be sending you out cold, that's for sure.
Yeah, the application might look a little daunting, but I mean, I'd hate to see what an application for a box of paper clips looks like in the federal government.
Well, thank goodness we're not in the federal government.
Absolutely. All right, Mary Edmund. Well, that's all we got for today. I want to thank you so much for stopping out today,
Jonathan.
And talking about City of Macomb business.
Thank you, sir.